What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to learn more or schedule your next appointment at orthosensi.com. That's orthosensi.com. I am your host, Double T. I appreciate you tuning into the show on this beautiful Monday evening. Plenty to get to from over the weekend. I myself, along with Casey Gilmore, was out at Centerville High School on Friday as the high school football state tournament kicked off, and we had the pleasure of sitting out with the fans in the bleachers on the Centerville side for that Centerville-Lawrenceburg matchup. It was a fun experience, actually, to be out in the elements for that game. It's a kind of a unique experience as well. They just don't have the accommodations there with their press boxes some other schools are fortunate to have, but that was a lot of fun for me and Casey to be out there in the elements calling that first round game for the Tigers, and we're certainly going to talk about that game and much more coming up on the show this evening. We got plenty of high school football talk to get to in the second half of our recap, some happenings at the cross country regional, had a couple area volleyball teams participating at the regional, and I tell you what, Harrison's Fall Sports, they've been doing some great things there. I want to take a little bit of time to talk about them. Also had some record-breaking performances over the weekend from some footballers at East Central and Batesville, so lots to get to here on the show this evening. So let's jump right in. Let's talk a little cross-country to start things out, because we have some area student athletes that are going to be moving on to the state finals. Now, I want to start by talking about the teams that competed at the regional round at Shelbyville on Saturday. On the boys' side of things, Milan and Batesville were two teams that advanced out of the sectional round to the regional. Milan, they had been largely dominant all season long in the area and then go up to regionals. 25 teams there and a very respectable finish. 11th overall, average time of 17 minutes, 13 seconds for the Milan Indians, but they do fail to advance as a team to the state championship, as only the top five teams do advance to the state finals, that being Fishers, Hamilton Southeastern, Noblesville, Center Grove, and Franklin Central. So congratulations to those teams, of course. But for Milan, they do have one individual moving on to the state finals. That is Ben Reilly. He's been their top runner all season long, senior. He's kind of been through the state tournament a couple times already, knows what he's getting into. But finished 17th at the regional round, 16 minutes and 14 seconds was his time. About a minute behind the top performer from Fishers that had the best time of 15 minutes, 17 seconds, but still really a great job done by Ben Reilly. He was just a couple seconds behind East Central's top performer, that being Braden Hatton Jr. from East Central, 16 minutes and 12 seconds. So just a couple paces ahead of Ben. Those two individuals will represent their schools at the state finals. And looking at the numbers by class or grade, you could say, a lot of underclassmen here on the boys' side, 17, and then seven seniors from the area as well. So we're going to hear a lot of these names again next year. Some of the young men that just missed the cut for the state finals, Gabe Reilly, Ben's younger brother, just a sophomore, finished 36th overall. A little bit further down the list, Jacob Chapman, a senior from Batesville. He's had a phenomenal year and career already. He finishes 61st. Oldenburg Academy sophomore Adam Dennis, he finishes 86th. Lucas Cooney, another sophomore from Milan, he was 116. So those are a few names that performed really well, but will be back next year with a chance to make a run in the state tournament. For some of those seniors, their last run, Aiden Potts, 104 from Milan. He ran a 17.32 at the regional. He also had Logan Hicks from East Central. He finished 136, senior. That is going to be his final run. Batesville senior Eli Leuchinger, he finished 178. You had Benjamin Adams, from Batesville, another senior that finished 188. So, again, just a few names. Wanted to give a shout-out to Mason Bascom from South Ripley, freshman, 18.49 his time. He finishes 198. Kale Collier, the top performer from Switzerland County, 201. He runs an 1853. He also had a young man from Rising Sun, Casey Fletcher, just a junior. He finished 2:31 with a time of 20:10. So, again, wanted to give a shout-out to some of those individuals that had top time from their school. And, again, you can find full results from the cross-country regional over at EagleCountryOnline.com. On the girls' side of things, even more underclass. They had actually more competitors at the regional than boys. 31 underclassmen, 4 seniors, and had 4 teams from the area competing there. East Central, Batesville, South Dearborn, and Switzerland County. And there are 4 young ladies advancing to state, 2 from East Central, 2 from Batesville. Callie Bentley, just a sophomore, finishes 7th overall, 18 minutes, 39 seconds was her time. She was about a little less than a minute behind the winner, which was Libby Dowdy of Indian Creek. She finished 17 minutes, 45 seconds, but an impressive performance from Callie Bentley. She's going to be joined by teammate Jenna Weiler, freshman from East Central, 19:26 her time as she finishes in 19th place. And then Kaylin Beadle and Lexian Harris from Batesville, a junior and sophomore respectively, finished 26th and 30th. So those 4 young ladies will move on to compete at the state run. Some of the others that were really good here at regional but just missed the cut, Adeline Brewer from East Central, she finished 36th, just 6 spots behind Lexian Harris. So you could see there that the cutoff was by a matter of seconds to make it to that state championship round. Megan Allgaier, also from Batesville. Again, East Central Batesville had really good teams all year long. She finished 59th. Good showing there. East Central's Emily Clem, just a junior, 73rd overall. Jocelyn Enderhees from East Central, senior, her final run, she finishes 89th. Samantha Adams, sophomore from Batesville, was 92nd, so plenty finishing in the top 100. He had Bailey DeMarie from Batesville, another sophomore, finishing 103. Ellie Potts, the top performer from Milan, just a sophomore, finished 107 with a time of 21 minutes, 31 seconds. So you'll see Ellie's name pop up quite a bit next year and the year after. A couple more years at the high school level, of course. Ellie Keith, a freshman from Switzerland County, finishes 125. That was their top performer. South Dearborn winning the sectional title for the first time since 1987. Rava Geiser was their top performer, a sophomore, finishing at 142. See here, Lawrenceburg's Laura Agner, she placed 172. Had some runners from Oldenburg Academy. Maddie Ryan was their top performer, finishing 190. South Ripley's Elizabeth McKittrick, just a junior, she finished 211. And Jackson Dell's Elaine Peters finishes 220. Rising Sun's Natalie Fisk also competing there at the regional round, among others. Again, don't have time to get to every single individual score and place. Only a 30-minute program, but we had a lot of runners at the cross-country regional, and we have 6 from our listening area moving on to the state finals, so we want to wish those 6 the very best of luck. We will certainly recap how they do at the state finals coming up a week from now on this very show. Now let's talk a little volleyball, as a regional round featured Lawrenceburg in Class 3A and Oldenburg Academy in Class 1A. Unfortunately for both of those teams, losing in the regional semifinal. Lawrenceburg took on a very good Bar Reeve team in that regional semifinal at Charlestown, losing 3 sets to nothing. Lawrenceburg finishing the season 27-6. Great season for the Tigers. Not only did they win the EIAC championship, which is a very, very tough conference to win, with the likes of East Central, Batesville having very good teams. Greensburg was maybe a little down this year, but they have an awesome program. Not an easy conference schedule to navigate, and then the Tigers go and win the sectional championship, playing many of those same teams to get that job done. So again, great season from the Lady Tigers. Not going to speak too much about them on the program tonight, because we're actually going to have the Lady Tigers in 2 weeks from today so that they can talk about their successful season. So looking forward to having head coach Stacy Kniga and several of her girls in studio to talk about what a great season it has been for the Lawrenceburg Tigers. Bar Reeve did go on to play Providence in the regional championship, but it was Providence that won 3 sets to nil to move on to the semi-state. In Class 1A regional at Edinburgh. Oldenburg Academy, similar to Lawrenceburg, runs into a very good Greenwood Christian Academy team that went on to win the regional. They lose that match 3-0 and finish their season 26-8. And I will again kind of echo the same sentiment about the Oldenburg Academy volleyball team. Anytime you win 20-plus games, win a sectional championship, awesome, awesome year that all those girls are going to remember for a long, long time. Congratulations again to both of those schools on what they were able to accomplish this season and getting to the regional round. No easy feat around here, because you got to go through some really good teams to win a sectional, and we talk about it all the time in multiple sports. Everyone always says the sectional is the hardest trophy to win, and then beyond that, it's just kind of a crapshoot. And for Oldenburg and Lawrenceburg, weren't able to get it done in the regional, but that's okay. They still had really, really great seasons, and I wanted to give them a shout-out for their performance this year. So there you have it. We've talked cross-country. We have talked volleyball. I do want to talk a little Harrison Fall Sports and their success. We'll do that when we come back. We'll also talk more high school football with sectional first round play happening this past Friday. Some record breaking performances. Lots still to get to on the second half of Crunch Time, presented by Ortho Cincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, and only heard here at Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com. Welcome back to Crunch Time, presented by Ortho Cincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home, orthocincy.com. Let's talk a little Harrison Athletics. It's been quite the fall season for the Wildcats, a banner fall season, if you want to put it that way. We should put it that way, because they've won a lot of championships. They recently captured the Southwest Ohio Conference Championship in boys cross country, boys and girls soccer, volleyball, and most recently this past Friday night in football. And it's been a pretty great turnaround for their football program from last year to this year. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But I just want to kind of go down the list and talk briefly about each of these teams. For the boys cross country team, first time they have won the SWAC, they actually broke a streak of 4 straight SWAC titles for the Talawanda Braves. So pretty cool that they got to snap that streak from a rival school. And they actually claimed the conference championship by virtue of a tiebreaker. They had the higher placement of their 6th runner. And of Harrison's 7 runners, they each placed in the top 11 at the SWAC meet. But that 6th runner was A.J. Willis. He placed 9th with a time of 18:48. And that was your championship moment for this team. The boys soccer team, a historic season. They finished the regular season with a 16-0 record. That was the first time in program history that the Wildcats have had an undefeated regular season, and they were crowned SWAC champions by obviously going undefeated in SWAC play to 6-0. The Wildcats ultimately end their season 16-1-1, go into the postseason, and they draw Oak Hills 2-2, advance on PKs, and then they go on to play Anderson this past weekend. Did lose that match 3-1, but what a great season for the Harrison boys soccer team, 16-1-1. SWAC champions, you can't ask for much more than that. But shout out to a few of the top performers for Harrison this year. Landon Wagner, he was up over 20 goals. Gavin Johnson, double-digit goals and assists. Evan Esterkamp playing well. And then their two goalkeepers, RJ Topher and Jimmy Lockwood, really locking it down back there in goal for the Wildcats. The girls' soccer team, they wrapped up their season 13-4-1, winning the conference championship for the first time since 2015, 4-0 against conference foes. Did lose in the playoffs 2-1 to Fairfield in sectional play. But again, a team that had some great performers. Maya Criccilio, 10 goals, 8 assists. Marin Deekers, 10 goals, 4 assists. Shelby Peepmeyer, 9 goals, 5 assists. So again, some really great scoring outputs for those young ladies. And for the fourth consecutive season, Harrison Volleyball won the SWAC title. They now have the most SWAC championships in conference history. And they had a bunch of players that were listed among the conference's statistical leaders: Faith Young, Lauren Blank, Grace Wittes, Lauren Larrick, Elizabeth Heimkreider, Carson McCain, and Grace Stewart, all having phenomenal statistical years for the Wildcats in volleyball. Defeated Winton Woods 3-0 in the first round of sectional play, and then turned around and defeated Mason three sets to one. So the volleyball team, 20-4 on the season, which is still alive. They will take on Mount Notre Dame tomorrow at 7 o'clock at Lakota West High School in the next round of sectional play. So good luck to the Harrison volleyball team as they look to keep this postseason run alive. Speaking of postseason runs, Harrison's football team, they're going to start their postseason this Friday coming off the SWAC championship. They completed a 3-0 SWAC season with a 55-0 win over Northwest on Friday. This is the third SWAC title for the Wildcats, previously winning titles in 2018 and 2019, and they have been very strong on both sides of the ball this year. They outscored their SWAC opponents 144-19. They've been averaging 32.5 points per game and averaging a lot of yards, 355 per game, most of those on the ground at 213.4. And what a turnaround for head coach Derek Rehage and his team. They only won one game last year, and now they're entering the football playoffs with a 7-3 record, coming in feeling good with that SWAC championship on their shoulders. And they are going to be playing their first round game at home this Friday against Sydney, 7 p.m. kickoff. That is the 5-12 matchup, with Harrison being the higher seed. That's why they have the home game this Friday. And in their portion of the bracket, you got Clayton Northmont as the 4 seed, Fairborn coming in as the 13 seed. The winners of those two games will match up next week in the quarterfinals. And then on the top half of the bracket, number 1 Anderson is taking on Turpin. Loveland against Kings in the 8-9 matchup. So that's the top half of the bracket in Region 8, Division 2. As I tell you what, Harrison's got just as good a chance as anybody to come out of the top there. I'll say this about their team. They run the ball exceptionally well, and they've been playing good defense. Both of those things. Travel, if they do indeed have to go on the road later on in the tournament, they are built to win road games because of their strong running game. Cole Coops, second leading rusher in the SWAC, over 1,000 yards this year. And of course, the defense has been playing well, powered by Kellen Dalio. He's one of the top pass rushers in the conference. Logan White's been having a phenomenal season as well. And then going back to the offensive side of the ball, yes, they can run it, but Dickie Engel has been fantastic at quarterback. He's up close to 1,400 yards through the air, and he's got a target in Luke Rogers that has played a lot of big games, a lot of meaningful football. So they got some star power there on the Harrison side, some guys that know how to get it done. They struggled through that bad season last year, but they have righted the ship. They've figured it out this season. And again, things just seem to be clicking with this team and clicking at the right time. So we want to go ahead and wish Coach Rehage and his Harrison Wildcats good luck in their first round matchup this Friday. We'll certainly be keeping tabs on that game, and hopefully Harrison can make a big run through the state tournament. And speaking of state tournaments, let's transition into Indiana high school football. The state tournament getting underway this past Friday in Class 4A, Sectional 23, East Central taking care of business as we all thought they would in Round 1, 62-7 win over Shelbyville. This one was never in doubt. East Central jumps all over the Golden Bears, 27-0 at the end of the first quarter. They would add 28 more points in the second quarter, and for senior quarterback Cole Burton, he set a record for TD passes in East Central school history, now with 59, as he had an exceptional game, 6 of 9 passing, 129 yards, 4 of his 6 completions went for touchdowns as he passes TJ Brown's career record previous of 56. So big congratulations to Cole Burton. Again, this is some records we've been tracking for many of weeks at this point. And a couple of those touchdown passes for Cole Burton going to his top wideout, Ryan Brotherton, new career school record with 29 TD receptions. He came into this first round contest tied with Dan Hartman with 27, but Ryan Brotherton catches 2 balls for 66 yards and finds pay dirt both times. Now, fellow senior and I guess the final leg on this great trio that the Trojans have is Josh Ringer. He ran for 140 yards on 16 carries, four total touchdowns in this game, but is still just a little under the career rushing mark there at East Central, set by Andrew Wolf, which is 5,708 yards. Josh now has 5,585 yards. So he needs just a 124-yard performance coming up this week against Martinsville to get that record. I think he is well within his means to get the 124 yards in this particular game. Yes, Martinsville is going to be a step up in competition from Shelbyville, but Josh is averaging well beyond 124 yards per game. So it looks like it will be a record-breaking performance for Josh coming up this Friday as East Central travels to Martinsville to take on the number 13 team in Class 4A. They dispatched of Silver Creek 28-14 in their first round matchup in Sectional 23. Some of those other scores: Greenwood 49, Connersville 20, and Jennings County defeats Edgewood 46-21. I still think, and I think most everybody that's listening to this program and knows anything about anything regarding East Central football and the team they have this year, still their sectional to win. Yes, Martinsville's got the number 13 next to their name, but I think there's still a big discrepancy between these two teams. The Herald site has it predicted 38-21 in favor of East Central. I'm not sure how Martinsville gets to 21 points against this defense. They've only given up double-digit points once this season, and that was to Moeller, and I think Moeller's a much better team than Martinsville. It is a number 5 versus number 58 in the Sagarin. I think this is going to be another blowout win for East Central. I think Ringer gets the EC rushing record, and I think East Central will host the sectional championship next week against Greenwood, as they are favored to beat Jennings County. But should Jennings County defeat Greenwood, that would put East Central on the road in the sectional championship, and that might be a good rooting interest for anybody that follows the East Central program. If you are a student there, a parent, if you're one of the players on the coaching staff, because once you get to the regional round, I'm not so sure anybody wants to make the four-hour trip to Evansville, considering East Central and Evansville Wrights may be on a collision course for the regional round. And if all the favorites win, as it stands right now, East Central would be traveling to Evansville Wrights and the Wrights Bowl for that regional round, which would likely be on a Saturday, likely going to be on a Saturday one way or another. I know I'm getting ahead of myself. I always do this, but I like to kind of look into the future and see what might what great matchups might be coming our way in a couple weeks' time. But East Central, I think everyone thinks the same. They're going to take care of business, win this sectional championship, and then if it's Evansville Wrights, can't wait to see how that one plays out, because those two teams look like they're the two best in 4A, or two of the best in 4A. So, again, we're just keeping our eye on that as a potential matchup and a game that we could potentially call a couple weeks from now. We'll see how things kind of shake out. But East Central off to a great start in their particular sectional. And, again, another big shout-out to their defense. They were absolutely phenomenal in this game. They only gave up 118 yards, 2.8 yards per play for Shelbyville, four interceptions for the Trojans. Chase Bellman had two of those interceptions. So a big game for Chase, and Moses Wheat and Connor Kuhn also getting their hands on the ball and turning over the Golden Bears. 3 of 11 on third downs for Shelbyville. East Central's defense able to get off the field. So just a couple of telling stats. They've been playing like that pretty much all year long. A similar instance in Class 3A, Sectional 31. Myself and Casey Gilmore, as I talked about at the open of the show, went up to Centerville, the 90-minute drive up north, and watched Lawrenceburg win 40-6 behind an awesome performance from Tegan Bennett. They gave him the ball a ton, particularly in the first half, and just tried to smack Centerville in the mouth. And not only tried, they did successfully. We talked about it in our pregame. Centerville hadn't seen a team all season long like Lawrenceburg. It is due to their proximity. That's just the fact of the matter. They play in a region of the state where they are surrounded by a lot of 1 and 2A schools, not heavily populated. So you got to play who you can play without traveling a great deal of distance each and every week. It's just not realistic. But Centerville goes 9-0. They had a really nice team, but they couldn't match the physicality and the athleticism of this Lawrenceburg team. Teagan Bennett runs for 245 yards and 2 touchdowns. Logan Ahouse wasn't great through the air. His completion percentage wasn't as good as it had been in previous weeks, but he still throws 3 touchdown passes, 2 to Jake Gourley and 1 to Hayden Saylor. It was a 46-yard touchdown on a 4th and 12 that made the game 27-0. I called it the back-breaking moment of the game. Saylor just runs a route into the middle of the field, looked like his defender fell down, and then with his speed, he was able to outrun everybody else for that score, and that was the moment where I think Centerville and all of their fans realized that they're not going to even come close to winning this game. Centerville really struggled to get anything established on offense. They had to abandon the run early, one, because it wasn't working, and two, because they fell behind so quickly in the game. And then the Tigers were able to kind of pin their ears back on defense, get after Jake Tinkle, who's a good quarterback, but they really held him down in this game. Centerville ended the game with 8 first downs to Lawrenceburg's 21. The third down defense and even the fourth down defense for Lawrenceburg was stellar. The only glaring problem with Lawrenceburg in this game was their kicking game, and I'm not trying to pick on Ryan Henthorne. I think he's absolutely fantastic. We've seen him make some kicks that no other kickers in the area or even really the state can make, but did have some struggles with his PATs. He had 2 blocked, and he had 1 that he shanked to the right, so that's something to work on this week. He may be needed. Big game coming up on Friday against Batesville. They played earlier in the season, 26-23, Batesville wins. Might come down to a Henthorne kick on Friday. So he's got to get his confidence established, reestablished back in practice this week because, again, expecting a close game on Friday, and 3 points could be the difference. Looking at Batesville, 35-6, they win over Rushville behind a couple of record-breaking performances. And again, similar to East Central, was the quarterback wide receiver duo of Will Geisel and Cade Kaiser, a couple of juniors. Geisel goes 10 of 13 for 151 and 3 touchdown passes, and that gives him the new school record for TD passes in a single season with 23, passing Trey Heidlich, who threw for 21 touchdown passes in 2018. And then, of course, Cade Kaiser, who you can kind of bank on him catching a touchdown or two every game. He had 2 touchdowns in the 35-6 win over Rushville, and he sets a new single season record for receiving touchdowns with 14, breaking the record that was previously held by Tom Jeffers, Wes Goldsmith, and Austin Seifert. So, also want to wish congratulations to Evan Ullery for his milestone moment, winning his 50th game as Batesville head coach. So I know when I ask him about that on Friday, I guess I just tipped off where we're going on Friday. He's going to kind of bypass that. Not going to be something that he super cares about, but it is worth mentioning. 50 wins with one program, and in the time span that he's been able to do it, is pretty good stuff. But Batesville, the beat just kind of goes on for this team. 9-1 on the season. Gage Pullman, they used him a ton in the first round, 32 carries for 127 and a touchdown. And the defense, turnover hunger program, really liked this because Nick Jarman threw 4 interceptions for Rushville, also lost a fumble. So 5 more turnovers for the Batesville Bulldogs as the defense getting it done. We're going to talk a little bit more about Batesville here in a moment. Maybe the most shocking scoreline of the evening on Friday was Franklin County defeating South Dearborn 25-7. And I only say that because South Dearborn won the regular season matchup 38-6. You don't see it very often where a team wins by that much in the regular season and then turns around and loses by multiple touchdowns. So kudos to Wes Gilman and his coaching staff and his kids for going out there and having that great turnaround. I apologize for not talking about them a little bit more in terms of sectional favorites, because it was a lot about Lawrenceburg, Batesville, and even South Dearborn to a degree last week as 3 of the teams that were the most highly rated in this sectional. But you also have to go out there and get it done on the field. And for Franklin County, they obviously saw some things on the tape from the regular season game that they thought that they could improve upon, and they did it. And yeah, they had many a weeks to get better between the regular season game and the first round sectional matchup, but just listen to some of these numbers. Franklin County runs for 234 yards. They ran for 18 yards on 18 carries the first time around. So, wow. I mean, what do you say? Amazing turnaround. For South Dearborn, they only ran for 65 yards. That put them in obvious passing downs. They all want to pass the ball anyways. But Adam Kunkel, 18 of 38 passing, 129 yards and a touchdown. He lit up the secondary for Franklin County in the regular season, 339 yards and five touchdowns. So again, this was a crazy turnaround. Wyatt Bowling, he goes for 134 yards on the ground and three touchdowns to carry this Franklin County team to a win. Their defense was unbelievable as well, holding down the high-powered South Dearborn offense, specifically their passing attack. But if you watch South Dearborn play this year, there weren't many games where they were really able to establish the run. They had their moments. Carson Cheek had the 7-touchdown game against Greensburg, who went winless this season. Brady Ballard had some really good moments, kind of filling in as a running back. Well, C.J. Evans hurt for most of the season, but they had nothing going on the ground in this game, and it did make them, quote-unquote, easier to defend because Franklin County could wait on the pass, and they were able to defend that much better this time around. But a 40-point turnaround for Franklin County, and now they're thinking, hey, we're gonna go play an Indian Creek team that's similar to South Dearborn. If we can defend them the same way, maybe we'll be in the sectional championship a week from this Friday. And I just looked down and realized I'm getting short on time, so I'm going to be pretty quick with the rest of this. Scenarios in sectional 31. If Lawrenceburg wins against Batesville, they'll host a championship game regardless because they've been on the road the first 2 weeks. Batesville would host against Indian Creek. They'd be on the road against Franklin County. Congratulations quickly to Switzerland County winning their first sectional game in program history, defeating Brown County 28-21. Alex Bailey runs for 4 touchdowns in that game. The Pacers D forced 2 turnovers, was really good on third downs, Switzerland County converting third downs and getting Brown County off the field. They'll take on Eastern Pekin on the road this Friday. And Milan takes care of business 46-0 over Cambridge City Lincoln, behind 2 rushing touchdowns from Austin Green, 8 carries, 133 yards. Fantastic job by that young man. Milan just beat him up on the ground for 279 and 5 touchdowns, held at Cambridge City Lincoln to only 4 first downs. And now Milan will host Try. Couple of 7-3 teams. Milan is predicted to win 35-21 from the John Harrell site. Looks like they may be on a collision course with North Decatur in the championship game. We've talked plenty about that over the past couple of weeks. So, again, good luck to our area teams that are still alive, looking to make it to a sectional championship with a win this Friday. I kind of tip my hand a little bit. I'll tip my cap here in just a second. We will be at Batesville, where the number 10 Bulldogs will host the number 9 Lawrenceburg Tigers in the Class 3A sectional 31 semifinals. That should be a phenomenal game. It was awesome in the regular season. I would expect nothing but the same in this semifinal matchup. So looking forward to being out there on Friday. I'll have Chuck Thomas with me this week to call all the action right here on your hometown radio station. Thank you so much, as always, to tuning in to Crunch Time. Appreciate our friends at OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine for sponsoring the show. We'll do it again next Monday right here, 6 to 6:30 on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3, and at EagleCountryOnline.com.